I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. We are continuing our study in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1 says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Verse 2 says this, that he no longer should live the rest of his life or his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And verse 3 goes on to expand on this, the idea of living for the Lord and not for the flesh. Verse 3 says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." Well, let's look at the sins mentioned here in verse 3. First of all, we see the word lasciviousness. This means lewdness. This would be indecent, sexual in an offensive way. And then we see the word lust, lusts. This is sexual desire. And this is a strong physical desire to have sex with somebody, and usually without associated feelings of love or affection. And then we see the term excess of wine. This would be drunkenness. Revelries, noisy, celebrating, lively enjoyment or celebrations, usually involving eating, drinking, dancing, and noise, often used in the plural. In other words, all these things taking place at once. And then you see the word banqueting. This once again would refer to drinking or drinking parties. And then abominable idolatries, loathsome worship, extremely excessive admiration or love shown for something or somebody other than God. Well, now, if you look at all of these things are bad. I mean, this is something that a Christian should stay away from. But as I look around and as I view the world that we live in and the way some of the churches that we view, some of these things are actually going on in churches. And you say, "What? I've never heard of that." Well, that's good if you're in a church that does none of these things. That is very good. And thank God I don't go to a church like that, but some people do. And you see the lasciviousness, lewdness, indecent sexual or in an offensive way. Indecent, and it comes to mind that the next one leads up to the sexual desire. This leads up to sexual desire. I see. And I understand that there's immodest dress that goes on. And let me remind you that men are aroused sexually by sight. Women are aroused by touch. And this, we've got to be careful with this. Lewdness, lasciviousness, and sexual desire. This is something that some people, as Christians, don't really understand. They think that they're going to be able to dress like the world and that no one's going to pay attention to that. Well, the world does. Human beings do. And we as Christians, we're to dress properly. We're to look like Christians. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to wear a coffee sack or any kind of a burlap sack and be covered like that. I'm saying that we need to be dressed decently. And we are to, women are to dress properly, and they are to use the common sense that God gave them to dress, not to arouse the opposite sex, but that they are to be in accordance with the will and the Word of God, not to have people desire them sexually, but that a person is to be able to look at a godly woman and say, "That is a godly woman. God bless her for dressing properly and acting properly." And you see that in some churches today, there's drunkenness. There's people, they go to church today and the next day they go out and get drunk. Well, is that person saved? That's not up to me to decide. But it's sad that this goes on in some churches, and it's actually tolerated. And you see, celebrating, this is lively enjoyment or celebration, usually involving eating, drinking, dancing, and noise. And it's sad that many of the churches today have replaced the pulpit with a stage. And people simply get up and dance and play the music, and there's nothing wrong with music. I don't care for the dancing part of it. There's nothing wrong with good music, godly music. But they've replaced the pulpit with the stage. They've replaced dancing and celebrating. They've taken the Word of God out. The Word of God is left out. And this is totally wrong. Churches today need to get back to celebrating God. They need to get back to celebrating what God has said in His Word. We need to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to get back to the basics, the basic Bible doctrines. And don't let anybody ever convince you that Bible doctrine is not important. We need to give heed to what God has said. And that is Bible doctrine, God's Word. Giving heed to what He has said in His Word, not straying from it, but giving it our complete attention as Christians. And the unsafe people of this world will see a difference in Christians' lives. And folks, when that happens, I believe a revival will come to this country. We'll see a turnaround in not only in our government, but we'll see a turnaround in the churches themselves when we take a stand for what is right in serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, that verse in verse 3 says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." It means acting like unsaved, wherein we walked. This is past tense as Christians. We once did this. Walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. We shouldn't do that now as Christians. Then we see in verse 4 it says, "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you." In other words, people will see you differently as a Christian, and they'll think it's strange that you're acting differently. This is the reaction of people when you no longer do the things mentioned in verse 3, and they think you are strange. And once again, sad that some Christians will think you're strange. And I say Christians, we think of someone who is Christ-like, and certainly those people who name the name of Jesus Christ need to be Christ-like, and they shouldn't think it's strange if you're living like God, if you're living the way God wants you to live. It shouldn't be strange to a Christian that you're striving to do what God wants you to do. It simply means to me that they need to be striving to be what God wants them to do and to be. And that tells me that they're not doing what God wants them to do and what He wants them to be. But the Bible says that people will look at you in a strange way if you're living for God. And they'll also say malicious things about you. They will be deliberately hurtful to you. They'll say things that will hurt you. And if you're living for the Lord, you may have already encountered this. If you're doing what God wants you to do as a Christian, you've probably already encountered some of these hurtful things that people will say to you. And I don't need to go into that, because once again, we need to be Christians, not only in the sense, once again, that we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we need to be putting forth that we are Christians. We are to have the testimony of a Christian and not of this world, because those things are past for us, the things of this world. Remember, the things of this world are going to pass away. They're only temporal. And I'm not saying that we're not tempted as human beings, as Christians in this life, but we should strive through the Spirit of the Lord to overcome the things of this world that are wrong. And then people will look at us as we're strange. You say, well, it's a no-win situation. Yes, it is a win situation, because we're pleasing our Lord when we're living for Him and we're putting forth that good testimony that He wants us to put forth. Verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 4 says, "Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" Let's read verse 4 with that again. "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" These people who are judging us, who say that we're doing strange things as Christians and we're living for Him and we're putting forth the good testimony, they're going to give an account to God. giving an account. People mentioned in verse 4 will be judged by Christ Himself. Christ is prepared to judge the living and the dead. Of course, the Bible tells us that if a person has not trusted Him as Savior, that's Jesus. If they have not trusted Him as Savior, they don't have to wait to be judged or condemned, because they're condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They have not trusted Him as Lord and Savior. Judgment is coming. But those people who have not trusted Him are judged already right now. One day, we who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will stand before Him at the judgment seat to receive those things that are done, that has been done in our bodies on this earth. We'll be judged. We'll suffer loss, or we'll receive reward. I'm not saying that we're going to pay for sin, because Christ has already done that. I'm not saying that we're going to stand there and give an account of sin that has been in our lives while we've been on this earth. I'm saying that there'll be rewards handed out. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know everything about all the rewards that'll be given. I simply know the Bible says that we as Christians will stand before the Lord to give an account. And then those people who have never trusted Jesus as Savior, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that all those people who have never trusted Jesus will stand at what's called the Great White Throne. And the Bible says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you don't confess Him here, you will one day. And one day, if you've not done it here, one day will be too late. Because as you stand at the White Throne Judgment, the Bible tells us that only unsaved people will be there to give an account. We as saved people, we've already given an account at the judgment seat of Christ, not whether we're saved or lost, but because we are saved, we're at the judgment seat. But these people who appear at the Great White Throne, they're unsaved. There is no hope for them at this point, because they have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior on this earth. And the Bible says that they will be cast into the lake of fire, into outer darkness, because they have not trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So judgment is coming for those people who have trusted Christ and for those people who have not trusted Jesus as Savior. Judgment comes for those who have never trusted Jesus. What a sad day it's going to be when those people who have never trusted Him have to bow the knee, when they realize then that it's too late, that there's never going to be another opportunity to receive Jesus as Savior, because He is now seated at the White Throne, on the White Throne, and He is passing judgment. He's saying, "Depart from Me, I never knew you." And the worst part of it is, they never knew Him. And I said, that's the worst part. Well, the worst part is that they will never know Him as Savior, because they will be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his workers. Do you know Him today? Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior right now.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address once again is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.